Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
COVID-19 pandemic's definitely shaken up the supply chain sector, and that's the case all over the world, right?
Yeah, and it certainly looks like the shakeup is going to present many opportunities for countries in Southeast Asia. Several MNCs have already taken steps to expand operations into Vietnam last year in order to avoid new tariffs on goods exported from China to the U.S.
And more are set to follow suit in the hunt for alternative markets for production as prices continue to rise. Well, Baker McKenzie recently released a new report revealing the full extent of the relocation and reorganization of global supply chains now underway and how it is being accelerated further by COVID-19.
Well, let's look at the kind of opportunities that are being presented to Southeast Asian countries with this acceleration on the line. And Petter, head of international commercial trade, Asia Pacific with Baker McKenzie. Anne, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our absolute pleasure. So, Anne, let's begin with this report recently released by Baker McKenzie, Supply Chains Reimagined, and it's all around recovery and renewal in Asia Pacific and beyond. You're a multinational law firm, though. Why was this survey conducted?
Well, you know, there were many reasons, but the key reason is just the importance of the Asia Pacific economy to the global economy and just the, you know, the amount of changes that are taking place there at the moment. So, you know, what we did with the report was we went back in time a bit to look at export data for the last couple of years, taking into account the US-China trade war. And we wanted to see what were the impacts, particularly across different industries, of the events impacting supply chains over the last couple of years, and then try and use that and also interviewing lots of people who are key decision makers in supply chain to see, well, what's keeping them up at night and what they see as the key trends going forward for supply chains in the Asia Pacific region.
Now we're talking with Anne Petter, the head of international commercial and trade Asia Pacific at Baker McKenzie. And so what were the trends that came out of this when we're talking about reshaping the global supply chain? What did your report find?
We worked with Silk Road Associates to do the heavy lifting on crunching the data. And interestingly, there was no one factor, you know, driving supply chain change. But we did identify sort of five key trends that we came across. And it was these five key trends would have different impacts across different industry groups. But the five key trends were sort of, firstly, companies are increasingly looking to adopt supply chain diversification strategies. You know, we've seen that with, particularly in consumer goods exports, that's dropped in China by 4% in 2019, and Southeast Asia has been, particularly Vietnam, has picked up that. You know, secondly, the US-China trade tensions, this, you know, won't surprise many people. They've been a major driver of supply chain changes as businesses look to sort of work through what is the impact of the US-China issues on their supply chains. The third one, and I think it's a really important one to remember, is, you know, China's large domestic market and its strength in emerging markets, it's pivotal in creating growth in particular sectors, in particular industrials, manufacturing and transport and energy and mining and infrastructure industries. And then the fourth key trend was that digitisation, you know, automating, bringing in more technology to monitor production and transport of goods, that and sustainability, they're going to have a really significant effect on supply chain operations going forward. And the fifth trend is government intervention and, you know, looking at, you know, government, you know, perhaps requiring more local production, but also government incentives. That's going to be a key driver in how supply chains are developed going forward.
Of course, though, Anne, one of the things that we've had to deal with this year has been COVID-19. And I'm curious to know whether or not you've seen this movement accelerated by the pandemic and the situation around the pandemic.
We have. There's sort of, I see two speeds with the acceleration. With COVID-19, what we've certainly seen is businesses needing to find a solution to a supply chain problem very quickly. you know, it might be that I can't get the inputs because a particular jurisdiction might be closed, or I can't transport the goods by air. I have to find a shipping route. But with that, you know, the acceleration of having to have a plan B and a plan C in order to react quickly to these issues, which sort of change from day to day. But we have certainly seen you know, planning on supply chain be lifted within most organisations from being, you know, what in the past might have been a bit more of a tendency to see supply chain planning as something that maybe belongs in the logistics department or is dealt with in a fairly siloed way across, you know, in a business, to supply chain issues more being seen as a whole of business and certainly a board level issue and certainly accelerated planning around that. I think if I could pick one area where there has been acceleration, it's been in the digitisation space. You know, we probably were seeing, you know, a year or so ago with businesses doing their pilot innovation projects of where they could bring in technology, and you would see a level of frustration that those pilots, you know, perhaps weren't going anywhere. But we're now seeing businesses getting really serious about bringing in automation to their supply chain or looking at how they can better use data, not just within their own business, but across their supply chain network to, you know, detect where there might be the supply chain disruption.
We're talking with Anne Paterd, the head of International Commercial and Trade Asia Pacific at Baker McKenzie. Anne, you talk about this diversification of the supply chain, which I think everybody appreciates needed to be done for a lot of reasons, especially when China shut down. But, you know, most companies realize that China is really the only game in town when it comes to a lot of this manufacturing. Going to Vietnam didn't work for a lot of people because of various reasons. Indonesia isn't ready yet, etc. When you talk about these diversification strategies, what options did you find the companies actually have?
So, that's a really good point to sort of, you know, draw out that you know, when we say diversification, it's not that everyone's looking to do everything differently. The first planning with diversification is to work out, well, what can I move? And of course, China is and will continue to be the primary source of so many inputs. And also with the size of the China economy, you know, you can't, for example, assume that you can do in Vietnam everything you can do in China just because of size constraints. So in terms of, you know, what we're looking for in diversification, it's step one is, well, what are the things that I can change and control within my supply chain? And it might be that the business, you know, can't change where it gets inputs from. That might mean it perhaps should think about diversifying into, you know, some different goods, or it might mean that it needs to look at varying the terms on which it on-supplies its products to give it a bit more flexibility in case there is supply chain disruption, you know, longer delivery times, for example. So it's very much a factor of working out where you can move what you do in the supply chain and being realistic in what things you cannot move and planning around those.
Now, let's just talk a little bit further about the U.S.-China trade relations. And because you mentioned this earlier as being a major driver, Anne, of the supply chain changes. You know, there's this joke that's often made that, you know, the U.S. and China went to war over trade and Vietnam won. But is that really, I sort of said tongue-in-cheek, but is this a realistic divergence?
Well, Vietnam certainly has increased its export, particularly in some consumer goods and retail area product lines in the last couple of years, and China has decreased in that area. But you're right. It is a bit simplistic to perhaps suggest that, you know, US-China went to war and Vietnam won. It's obviously a lot more complicated than that. What I've seen a lot of businesses do is, you know, the US-China trade tensions has more triggered a review in the business to look at, well, actually, what within our supply chain is affected by either needing to purchase, you know, from the US or China or needing to supply to the US and China. And that's been a catalyst to actually have a broader review of the supply chain and see actually, well, with our supply chain, you know, what things aren't working so well. What other opportunities might there be? You know, there was mentioned earlier that, you know, perhaps some jurisdictions in Southeast Asia, you know, their infrastructure and that might not be sufficiently set up at the moment to cater for a massive move to those jurisdictions. So, you know, governments wanting to attract, you know, more manufacturing in those jurisdictions will need to, you know, put in more infrastructure development, particularly in ports and transportation routes and communications.
And those changes that you mentioned are, to be sure, you know, many countries are looking at doing that, if not already doing that. But those are, you know, many years in the making when you talk about big infrastructure projects like building a port, for example, not to mention getting the manufacturing up to speed and the quality and the on-time delivery. These are all big supply chain issues that aren't changed very quickly. So what are the options if somebody is looking to diversify, you know, from the workshop, you know, the workshop floor, which is China? Where can they go right now? Do they look at India? Do they, you know, or is it just dependent on the particular products that they're looking to replicate somewhere else?
It is very dependent on the types of products, and it will evolve over time. As you say, it's a long term thing. So patience is needed. You know, and what we've seen very much this year, as I touched on before, is businesses with a COVID-driven supply chain disruption very much needing an urgent and probably temporary fix. And that temporary fix might be that they shut down for a period or, you know, do a slower supply, and then you have the longer-term planning. You know, one of the sort of most frequent projects I'm getting across my desk at the moment is businesses saying, well, we want to evaluate all these different government incentives that are trying to attract us to their region to, you know, set up part of our manufacturing or become a new transportation logistics hub or do some research development in a new jurisdiction. And, you know, businesses are taking their time to really work through, you know, the different packages on offer from many governments, including India, as you mentioned, and Taiwan, Singapore, of course, as well, to work out, well, what is actually going to be the best fit for that business and the parts of their supply chain that they're looking to relocate.
We're speaking to Anne Pettit, Head of International Commercial and Trade for Asia Pacific at Baker & McKenzie. And as we wrap up the conversation, Anne, I just wanted to talk then about cumulatively the global outlook for supply chains and a timeline for recovery, because, of course, we're in very uncertain times. What's your assessment?
I think you've hit the nail on the head with the uncertain times and the sort of, you know, businesses now actually, they have to plan for uncertainty in the supply chain, which I think can be a real challenge, particularly for businesses, you know, used to sort of booking transportation slots or booking in manufacturing slots with their suppliers. That management uncertainty is going to be something that I think will delay businesses somewhat in making their decisions, but will also mean they make do careful planning. And with the careful planning and doing a bit more, not future-proofing, because I don't think we can future-proof the supply chain, but the careful planning for disruption will mean that businesses are setting themselves up better in the future to deal with disruption and giving themselves better ability to detect disruption and also better options to, you know, navigate through the disruption. So I might be a bit sort of glass half full because I've had my coffee this morning, but I do think it's sort of more of a positive story than a negative one, because, you know, part of the supply chain disruption planning is dealing with some of the issues that businesses perhaps were neglecting for longer than they should, and they're now focused on them.
Well, thank you to Anne Pettit, the Head of International Commercial and Trade at Baker McKenzie. Appreciate your thoughts on supply chains today.
Thanks very much for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.